From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at Memorial Hall on the campus of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. That's so nice. We are so happy to be back here on the campus of UNC in Chapel Hill. We are delighted that we are going to be joined later on this show by one of Chapel Hill's most beloved residents, Ms. Elizabeth Edwards, is going to be with us right here. So excited. She's been here so long. She's a fixture here in town. We're looking forward to talking to her about the local fauna of the area. You know, for example, the famous local weasel. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. What? The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, everyone. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, who's this?
This is Hari Chengalup.
Hey, Hari. Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Hey, Chicago. We're away from Chicago. How are things there?
Very good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're glad to be here because here, you know, you really get to enjoy just the way the moss grows in the back of your neck. It's really, you don't get that in Chicago, so we're happy to be away. Hari, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and the author most recently of Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hello, Roy.
Hey, how you doing?
Next, say hello to an editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Next, it's a television personality, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, and someone who will be appearing in Broadway Bears at New York's Rosemont this very Sunday, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hey, Mo.
Hari, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will start us off with three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. If you do that, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice and your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Sure am.
Here is your first quote.
In a soccer match, people may become excited, and there may be confrontation between the people and the police force. These are not problems.
That was a man saying that the massive popular protests in the street against his apparently fraudulent reelection really aren't anything more than just, you know, people getting overexcited the way they do. What country are we talking about?
Iran.
Exactly right.
It would be Iran.
Ahmadinejad. People in Iran began to believe that the recent presidential election had been fixed when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the nutty hardliner incumbent, claimed he had gotten the overwhelming support of the elderly Jews of Palm Beach County, Florida. Millions of Iranians took to the streets, often at real risk to their lives, to protest the election. Now, while people are getting excited about the prospect of real democratic reform in that country, other more realist voices are pointing out that the other candidate, Mayor Hossein Mousavi, isn't much better than Ahmadinejad in many ways. But in fact, they're very different. For example, Ahmadinejad denies the Holocaust ever happened. Mousavi agrees, but says he really enjoyed Schindler's List. That's progress. Ahmadinejad once famously said that there are no gay people in Iran. Mousavi says, well, back in college, he knew some guys who were bi-curious. So small steps of progress is what we're looking at.
I've just now enabled myself to pronounce Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad.
So I would have voted for him for that reason.
Really? Just because you don't want to have to learn somebody else.
I know it's selfish, but I'm sorry.
Right. I understand. Now, one of the things that's going on, of course, is that there's a lot of political debate here in America about what President Obama should do. Because on the one hand, there are those, including President Obama, who thinks that it's important to remain neutral. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you know, I mean, the Iranians look at America like teenagers look at their parents. Whatever we want, they're against, right? But the Republicans and conservatives are saying, no, 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 you have to stand up and say you're for the protesters and against Ahmadinejad, as if simply by picking a side, he will miraculously make them win. Mm-hmm. Much like he did for the UNC men's basketball team. Mm-hmm. During the tournament, that being his power. All right, very good, Hari. Your next quote is actually a series of quotes. It's a bunch of media figures going a little gaga. First, let's hear from David Gregory of NBC News.
You just have to appreciate the concentration and the precision.
Now let's hear from ABC's Chris Cuomo.
Look at the hand coming up. The poise, the cupping, and the quick slap. Just knocked it away. Very rare.
Finally, thanks for the sound effect.
Uh-huh.
Finally, here's CBS's Chris Ragg.
The president is a ninja.
Those quotes, as collected by the Conservative Media Research Center, were all in response to the amazingly effortless way President Obama did what during a TV interview?
Played exterminator-in-chief by swatting a fly.
Yes, he did. He did. First, he was being interviewed by CNBC in the White House, and the president noticed a fly buzzing around him, so he first waited as the fly was drawn to him, as all living things naturally are. Then wham! He crushed that fly just the way he's going to crush capitalism, with a smile. And yes, the media went a little nuts over it. They praised Obama for his fly hunting skills, taking it as a challenge to his own manhood. Dick Cheney went out and shot another lawyer in the face. I'm a ninja too.
That's right. Actually, Dick Cheney did that same fly thing with his tongue.
All right.
And also, he picked it up after a lot of people wouldn't know.
He picked it up?
He did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The President of the United States picked it up. And what did he do?
Handed it to an aide. They're going to have it stuffed, I believe.
Mounted.
All right, very good. Here, Hari, is your last quote.
At least Jay Leno has interesting people. This schmuck has nobody. You know what a schmuck means in Jewish?
That was one of the 20 or so protesters who showed up in a Manhattan street this week. They were protesting whom?
That would be David Letterman.
Yes, David Letterman. It was, in fact, the greatest feud between a politician and a comedian since Richard Nixon and Artie Johnson fought over the onion dip backstage at Laugh-In. But it ended, finally, when David Letterman offered an unprecedented apology to Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. She accepted. Letterman's joke about Alex Rodriguez, quote, knocking up Palin's daughter, unquote, at a Yankee game went awry when it turned out Governor Palin brought her innocent 14-year-old daughter to the game, not the more worldly 18-year-old. It's not Bristol, it's Willow. It's the kind of mistake you make while you're picking out Martha Stewart brand house paints. Carl, how did Hari do in our quiz?
Hari was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers, so Hari, you win our prize.
Ooh.
Well done, Hari.
Thanks, Peter.
Keep Chicago safe. We'll be back soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Kiri, listen, with all due and appropriate respect, to a winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature, Mr. José Saramago of Portugal.
It is a thing that looks dangerously like a human, a thing that throws parties, that organizes orgies, and rules a country called Italy.
Mr. Saramago was talking about a man who's making his first official visit to the Obama White House this week. Who?
A friend of Wait, I believe, Silvio Berlusconi.
Yes. What will we do without him? The Italian billionaire, media mogul, and quasi-dictator started off his relationship with the American president right the night of Obama's election. Berlusconi called him, quote, young, handsome, and tanned. Mr. Berlusconi arrives now in the midst of a sex scandal back home. He's been linked to an 18-year-old who, this was a girl who's young enough to be his usual mistress's daughter. This being Italy, though, you know, they're cool. The only thing that people are upset about is that his hair plugs clash distastefully with her braces.
And he thinks our president is George Hamilton.
Exactly. The White House, they plan to handle him with the usual diplomatic protocol, except for Mr. Berlusconi, they're going to hide all women and pets in the building. And they're going to put an extra security detail in front of the statue of Lady Justice, you know.
Ooh. Why is he a friend of our show?
Well, he just provides us with material from time to time.
I thought maybe he was a panelist. I didn't
you never know.
I wish.
We have him on a retainer.
Yes.
And she, his girlfriend,
that
has
also
a retainer.
Has a retainer.
Roy, as far as we know, this is a first in baseball. An umpire at a high school game in Iowa threw who out of the game?
The whole team, both teams, I think. No?
No?
No. Threw the fans. Oh, no, he did. He threw all the fans out.
Yes, he did. He threw the entire crowd out of the game. The 100 or so people in attendance at the high school game didn't like the way umpire Don Briggs handled the disputed call. They let him know about it quite rudely, and after they ignored his admonitions to behave, Mr. Briggs told them all they were out of here. Even called police to ask help clearing the stands. Eventually, the crowd was allowed to stay if they promised to behave, and they were all required to shout things like, "Good call, Mr. Umpire," and "That umpire, he has excellent vision." Once the crowd did leave, though, the umpire was able to see under the bleachers where A-Rod was knocking up Sarah Palin's 18-year-old daughter. The older one.
No.
Totally legitimate. Thank you all so much. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Katie from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, Katie, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, how are things in Fort Worth?
Hot.
Yes. Yes, I know. How do you guys bear it, all the heat and humidity there in Texas?
Well, thankfully, my church's camp is going on, and so I'm inside during all of it.
Oh, there you go. That we just flee inside for the duration.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Katie. Now, you're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Katie's topic this week?
Well, thanks, guys. You really shouldn't have.
Adults don't often get the chance to be recognized for their achievements. The most you can hope for usually is a little plaque or a shorter prison term. But this week, we read a story that proved sometimes being honored isn't so honorable. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about honors that were less than great. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail if you prefer. First up, let's hear from Mo Rocca.
The Italian province of Umbria is known for its ancient and vibrant hunting grounds, teeming with wild boars and deer. It is said that a boy of 12 who has not fired a musket is no Umbrian at all. Umbria is also the home of pop opera legend Andrea Bocelli. The blind superstar has given millions to Umbria's parklands, hence the inauguration of Umbria's Andrea Bocelli shooting range. Said Marcello Bagnoli, mayor of nearby Campofiore, quote, "We know that if Andrea could only behold the majesty of an Italian brown bear, he'd nail it right between the eyes." Of course, Bocelli can't see bears, nor can he see the statue of himself at the entrance to the park, depicting Bocelli, a coonskin cap on his head, aiming a harpoon gun with a very far-off look in his eyes.
A shooting range named for the very blind Italian opera singer Andrea Bocelli. Your next story of a dubious honor comes from Kiri O'Connor.
For years, Tomball, Texas has been at war with one Buff Buffkin for crimes against civic good taste. Buffkin owns a car dealership, a strip club, and a bail bondsman's establishment. But that's not the problem. It's his love of giant inflatable character balloons, which he affixes liberally to his businesses. At recent count, 2 purple gorillas, a green gorilla, 2 fake blimps, 2 minimally clad ladies, a patriotic eagle, and, most memorably, a huge inflatable convict. 2 days after the town council voted to ban Buffkin's offending inflatables, however, he received the Golden Gorilla Award from the Inflatables Manufacturers of America for best use of inflatable outdoor art. "It's bittersweet," Buffkin said.
The Golden Gorilla Award for best use of inflatable outdoor art, given the man who had created an eyesore. And your last story of a troubling tribute comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Ah, the pride of having a great natural thing named for you. A mountain, say, or a national park, or the hot new mushroom, which is spread all over the cover of this month's Mycologia magazine, which is just it when it comes to fungi. This mushroom was discovered by a colleague of the scientist Robert Drews, a colleague who is apparently himself a fungi, because he named this mushroom Phallus Drusii, which is Latin for Druses thingamabob. This new mushroom is only 2 inches long. It does resemble a penis, but it also emits a foul odor, and it's not only small, also, although it grows on wood, it looks limp. I love it, claims Druze. It's a form of immortality. Druze himself is a herpetologist. Just wait, Mr. Colleague, till Druze discovers a new snake.
All right. Here, then, are your choices. From Mo Rocca, a shooting range in Umbria, Italy, named after local legend and very blind opera singer Andrea Bocelli. From Kyrie O'Connor, the story of how a man polluted his town with inflatable advertisements until he got an award for them. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., a man thrilled to have a small phallus-shaped mushroom named for him. Which of these is the real story about a disreputable honor?
It would have to be one of the first two, because one, my dad's a fan of the first one, or the second one, because I live in Texas and I've seen those gorillas everywhere.
Right.
So I'm going to have to go with the second one.
You're going to go with the second one?
Yeah.
The story
I've
out of Texas
of
the inflatable things poisoning the landscape, getting an award.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we actually spoke. We were so pleased we were able to do this to this person who actually received this honor.
You know, I'm a scientist. I'm delighted, regardless of what it describes, that name, Phallus Drusii, will live on as long as there is time.
I'm sorry to say that that was Robert Druze. He's the curator of herpetology at the California Academy of Sciences, and he is, in fact, the inspiration for the recently discovered mushroom Phallus Drusii. So I'm sorry, as you have no doubt figured out, Katie, Roy Blunt Jr. actually had the correct answer. You did not win, but you earned a point for Kiri for her terrifyingly true-sounding story of the inflatable gorillas looming over Texas.
Well, I just want to thank you, Katie, because nobody believed me about the gorillas.
But they're there.
They're there.
If you've been to Texas, you see them all over the place.
That's true. Katie, thank you so much for playing with us. You're a great sport. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How many mushrooms can you see? Can you count them all, big or small? Add them up, but don't give up. How many mushrooms can you see?
And now the game where we talk to people who have accomplished an awful lot and ask them questions about things they didn't bother to notice because they were off accomplishing stuff. Now, we have talked to a lot of politicians on this show, but we have never enjoyed any of them more than we did a certain political spouse. Elizabeth Edwards first appeared on our show 2 years ago when her husband John was running for the Democratic presidential nomination. A lot's happened since then. She's written a book about some of those things called Resilience, which she has in spades. We are delighted to have her with us right here in person. Elizabeth Edwards, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Glad to have you. So, been an interesting couple years. What's up with you?
I'm laying back now.
You're laying back.
Yep.
You're enjoying yourself. You're off the campaign trail.
Off of all of that.
You're just done.
I'm done.
No more of the public. You're not doing the public thing anymore.
Well, I mean, you have to. When you sell a book, you got to go.
Oh yeah, it's true. You've been out there. You know. Yep. We wanted to talk to you about your life here in Chapel Hill, where you've lived for many years, right?
I moved here first in 1969, but then I moved away for a while. And right. Back.
You're back.
Happily back.
And famously, you guys built a beautiful home near here, 1,600 square feet, we're told. Our question is, how big is the doghouse where your husband is living these days? You're just going to let... does he have room to turn around?
I'm gesturing. So
you're gesturing.
Because I know it's radio.
I know, exactly. Oh, but you should see her face. Now, you write about this in your book, what happened with your husband and so on and so forth, and a lot of people have asked, it's a serious question, that you wrote about it, you talk about it, but you are still here. You didn't go anywhere. You didn't leave.
I'm still here.
You're still here.
Yep.
And that was because you just decided that was best for you and your family?
I did. And it's not always a popular decision, but
no.
It's mine.
No. I understand. Do you have any insight, as maybe you will, about the larger phenomenon of the misbehaving political male. There do seem to be a subgenre out there.
Yeah, we're certainly hearing more about it now with
Senator John Ensign this week. There was Senator Spitzer. Governor Spitzer. Right. I mean, is there something about these guys that just makes them dumber than? Or is it just that they're getting caught? I don't know.
Well, that's probably both of those. I mean, not both, obviously dumber because they're being followed by a lot of people and they're not paying attention to that. But they are followed, and other people besides their wives are paying attention to where they are at night. So that's obviously a feature. But I think it's a lot of attention is paid to people. I think you see it in entertainment. You see it in sports. I've seen it in journalists.
You know.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would ever want to fool around with a journalist, though? You've seen how those people dress, Elizabeth. My God.
Peter, I'm so hurt.
You see it with NPR personalities.
Oh, no, yeah.
Just imagine what Peter wears during a pledge drive.
Oh, Lord.
Who knew there were so many wanton librarians? In the
I wish.
Want to come home with me and then experience a morning edition? We'll listen to Morning Edition together.
After we consider all things.
Oh, it's getting so hot in here. I need some fresh air. All this car talk.
Click and clap.
Because you have been so open.
Wait, tell me.
That really is the least exciting sweet nothings I've ever heard. Elizabeth, back to you. Believe it or not, we're actually interested in you. Now, I know that you've been, in fact, something of an inspirational figure to other women who've gone through your health issues with cancer and such. We experienced that when we first talked to you. And you've experienced that. People have come up to you and found you and talked to you about their own experiences.
Yeah, I get a lot of that, actually, which is good and bad. You know, sometimes you want to escape from it, but most of the time it's really nice to feel that you've made a difference in somebody's life.
Right. Now, has that happened with the marital issues as well? People come up to you and go, you want to hear about a weasel?
Yes.
Oh!
I get a lot of very long letters detailing.
Really? Yeah. Anything juicy you can share?
Not on the radio, no. Maybe later.
And what do you say to these people?
I don't answer those letters. I don't know really what to do with that.
Wow.
You know, people make their own choices based on their own lives, and you know, whatever they choose to do, that's right for them.
Right. Okay. But did you want to in any way set
butt
yourself?
In?
Butt in?
No.
No, you didn't want to butt in.
No.
Wow. Are they at least fun to talk about with your girlfriends at night?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You probably don't remember this at all, but I went to a reception for your husband in 2003 or so in New York, and he was fielding questions, and I asked him about, you know, Bernard Shaw asked Michael Dukakis what he would do if, you know, given your position on capital punishment, what would you do if your wife were raped and murdered? And Dukakis sort of muttered and said, well, you know, sort of did this, gave a sort of abstract answer, which I thought was the end of Michael Dukakis right there.
Right.
And I said to John Edwards, I said, how would you answer that question? And a woman behind me said, yeah, I'd like to hear what he says about this. And he said, it wouldn't matter what my position was on capital punishment, I would kill him myself. And the woman who had said that, who was standing behind me, was you. I thought that was a nice moment.
That was great. That was great. Well, Elizabeth Edwards, we're so delighted to have you back with us. But this time we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Lady, once you're on the court, they can't touch you. You can do whatever you want.
Sonia Sotomayor may be, as Newt Gingrich would have it, a racialist. But if confirmed, she will be far from the oddest justice who have served on the Supreme Court. We've got three questions about the men and women on occasion in black, taken from the new book, Secret Lives of the Supreme Court by Robert Schnackenberg. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Elizabeth Edwards playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Hannah Schanzer from Chapel Hill.
Okay. First question. Justice John Marshall Harlan II was extremely collegial. In fact, he went out of his way to help his colleagues by doing which of these? A, he ordered their lunches for them based on his view of their dietary needs. B, he led them in calisthenics before each court session, whether they liked it or not. Or C, he regularly screened adult films in the basement to help them with their research into obscenity issues.
Hmm.
Think about what you know about men in power. I just want you to use that harder knowledge before you answer.
Well, then men do order for you.
So yes, they do that. They do that.
Given your intro, I kind of got to go with the view the X-rated movies.
You're right. Well done. Oh, from experience comes wisdom, Elizabeth. Yes. The adult film series in the basement of the Supreme Court went on for years. A lot of research to do. By the end of it, Harlan's eyesight had failed, and this is true. He had Justice Douglas narrate the action for him. All right, here we go. Next question. That's one for two. Here we go. Next question. Justice Thurgood Marshall. He was a giant of the law, we all know, but he had his quirks, such as which of these? A, he always kept his hands inside his robes during arguments so he could play with his worry beads. B, that's what he said he was doing. B, he insisted that court adjourn every day at 1 p.m. so he could watch his favorite soap opera.
All My Children?
It was All My Children.
Or C, he wore horse blinders so he couldn't see the other justices, saying appearances would sway his thinking.
I kind of thought that it was the Chief Justice who adjourned, but somebody adjourned to watch All My Children, which did come on at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
So I think that maybe that's it.
You're going to go for that, the soap opera?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right again. Well done. Although, far be it for me for arguing. I don't have a dog in this fight, but Mr. Schnackenberg, in his book, says the soap opera was Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives doesn't come on at 1.
No, it's a 2. Sorry, it's a 2.
It doesn't come on. That's right. It does not come on at 1.
No. This is about Pine Valley. This is about Pine Valley. It was part of the Lucci doctrine.
It's a Susan Lucci show.
Really? Yeah. This is Susan Lucci show.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. Let's see if you can be
Days
perfect here.
Days of Our
here.
Lives. That's such an appeals court soap.
All right. Let's see if you can be even more perfect than you already are. Every year, on March 8th, Justice Harry Blackmun used to celebrate a very personal holiday. What? A, the day he lost his virginity. B, the day he first realized he was smarter than everybody else. Or C, the day he had his appendix removed.
He celebrated it every year.
Every year. Publicly. Today was the day, he'd say.
Appendix.
Yes, you're right! Blackmun was, for some reason, obsessed about the human appendix. He used to bore his colleagues about his appendectomy and other people's as well. Carl, how did Elizabeth Edwards do?
Elizabeth was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers.
Wow.
She
well
was
done.
Answer.
This is great. We love this. We love having you come by here every 2 years or so, and we'd love for you to come back again in the future and as long as you care to.
Absolutely, and come back to North Carolina soon.
Elizabeth Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. She is a wife, mother, a lawyer, an advocate, and the author of the book Resilience on bookshelves now. Elizabeth Edwards, thank you so much
for
being with us again. Thank you, everybody. You are better than great. Thank you. In just a minute, duck and cover, Carl is going to detonate a rhyme bomb in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, it's time for some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, the founder of the SETI Project, that's the initiative to seek out extraterrestrial life, he's worried that alien analysis of human civilization might be based on what?
What kind of, is this psychoanalysis? What kind of analysis?
Well, he's afraid, I mean, he's thinking about the possibility that there are aliens out there, right? Intelligent life. And he's convinced there is, because of the math. Mm-hmm. But what he's worried about is that if these aliens are out there and are looking at us, what they know about us comes from what? is based on what?
Oh, God, I hope not tabloids. Supermarket
That'd be
tabloids.
Hilarious. If they show up that we want to meet this John and Eight. This Kate and Eight. What?
Stars. Are you really just like us?
Do you have tentacles? No.
He's worried that all they know about us...
You're close. More electromagnetic than tabloids.
Oh, okay. From public radio? No.
That would be great.
Yeah. Are they really all that smart?
You seem like such a reasonable people from what we've heard. We want to meet your leader, Silvia Poggioli.
Electromagnetic.
Well, you were right, but he's not worried about public radio. He's worried about...
Television.
Yes, he's worried that the aliens know of us only through our crappy television programming. For about 100 years, we've been blasting radio and TV signals into space. And that could pose a problem if anyone hears it. Astronomer Frank Drake, one of the founders of SETI, he said, quote, particularly at night, there are so many crime programs on television, violence and blood and all that. That is a really inaccurate picture of our civilization, unquote. To which we say, what planet are you living on?
I bet they really hate ALF.
They're mad when the invasion ships come.
And they've never forgiven Robin Williams from working in Mindy. Yeah. Well, that's like a minstrel show to them.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Anyway, we think that if this theory is true and the aliens are all watching, you know, Law and Order reruns and other stuff on TV, they'll just, when they get here, they'll just wonder where all the fat people came from. And the first thing they're going to want, they're going to say, We've come 400 light years. Where can we get one of those ShamWows? They seem to do everything. We have advanced technology, and yet our towels cannot do that. Roy, a newly revealed painting suggests that Leonardo da Vinci may have painted a companion to his famous Mona Lisa with one significant difference. What?
This one, he painted a happy Mona Lisa. A chuckling Mona Lisa.
No.
A man?
No.
Mona Lisa.
No, it's obviously not a man.
Oh.
Oh.
A bare-necked Mona Lisa?
A bare-necked Mona Lisa. You know what? She looks good. Yeah. Similar pose, similar composition, similar background of the Italian landscape, but now it's La Gioconda gone wild. The painting had been hidden for decades behind a wall of a private library, probably because it didn't want anybody to see it naked. More research will have to be done to tell if it was really painted by Da Vinci. There's evidence it was at least based on one of his works, and rumors of a nude version of Mona Lisa have circulated in the art world for years. It was just assumed it was lost, torn from an issue of Renaissance Maxim and hanging in somebody's locker at the Vatican. If it is indeed a nude Mona Lisa, it's a major find. The biggest thing since the discovery of Van Gogh's self-portrait in sexy nurse costume. Apparently, there are also rumors of a nude American Gothic, but nobody's pursued it, because who wants to see those people naked?
No.
They're lean. I think they probably look good. That is interesting. Paintings you'd like to see naked.
Yeah, I've thought of several I wouldn't, but I can't think of
I don't want to see any of Botero's work naked.
Yeah. No. The scream. Oh, no, where are my pants? That's what he's screaming.
Oh, this is so nerdy. God, I love this. Okay.
Coming up, it's Lightning fill-in-the-blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back home at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago. You can also download the Wait Wait podcast for your computer, MP3 player, either or both. And you can check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/waitwait. Hi, everyone. Wait, don't tell me.
Hi, this is Edie Jones from Twin Falls, Idaho.
Hey, how are things in Twin Falls?
Well, they're pretty exciting. It's Idaho, after all.
It is, and it's nothing but excitement in Idaho. Give us a sense of the exciting things that are happening right now in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Well, the clouds are gone. That's
there you go.
The development of the day.
It's a sunny day. Anything else?
That's shockingly it.
There you go. Edie, welcome to our show. Carl Castle now will perform for you 3 news-related limericks. The last word or phrase will not be there. You shall provide it. Do that 2 times out of 3. You'll be a winner. Ready to go?
Sure.
Here is your first limerick.
A Blarney Stone visit is tricky.
I won't touch, much less give it a hickey. I shiver and moan. I just can't kiss this stone. All the world does, and that's just too...
icky.
Right. Kiss the Blarney Stone in Ireland. Legend has it you will be rewarded with a gift of gab. You could also be rewarded with, say, a flesh-eating bacteria. If a survey by TripAdvisor.com is accurate, they've named the Blarney Stone the number one germiest world attraction, beating out the runner-up. This is true. Seattle's renowned Wall of Gum, where visitors stick their used chewing gum. TripAdvisor editors place the blame on the 400,000 or so tourists who kiss the Blarney Stone every year, making the ancient stone the Madonna of tourist attractions. Oh, I got it from the Blarney Stone. That's a good excuse. Tell your kids. Here is your next limerick.
I moved in with my girlfriend. That's that. What we do? Well, we ate, talked, and sat. We're together. That's it. We don't need to be fit. We cohabit so we can get...
fat.
Right. A study in the journal Obesity shows that the longer couple... there's a journal called Obesity. Yeah. How'd you like to be the cover model for Obesity? It shows that the longer couples live together, the more likely they are to balloon up like Jabba the Hutt. According to Penny Gordon Larson of the University of North Carolina, married couples and couples living together tend to eat larger meals together. They tend to watch TV together instead of going out and doing stuff. And they tend to drink heavily alone after another damned fight over whose turn it is to clean out the litter box. All of which helps them pack on the pounds. Experts recommend that one or two nights a week, the couple reverts and eat like they're single again, meaning for the woman, a quart of Häagen-Dazs, and for the man, a bag of potato chips eaten over the sink.
I'm trying to imagine the centerfold for the journal Obesity. Is it like...
whatever it is, like it's like eight pages.
It's a tarp. You know, it's like... you can use it to cover your car in bad weather.
Here is your last limerick.
On my serve, my backhand or front, I give all my I don't bunt. You say you're scared. Guess what? I don't care. You can sue. I'll continue to...
grunt.
Yes. How did you know? It's become part of the game of tennis, the thwack of the ball followed immediately by the grunt of the player, followed by the bitter argument with the line judge. But officials at the International Tennis Federation, they're now cracking down. They say that grunting could hinder an opponent by freaking them out. Under new proposed rules, unruly grunting could cause a player to forfeit a game or match. These new rules could have a serious effect on players like Maria Sharapova. She's currently the grunting top seed with a ranking of 101 decibels. Ooh. However, there is a loophole in the new rules. It's called the Boca Raton Tennis Club exception. It allows players to, instead of grunt, they can whine. Like, oi, I hit that hard. Carl, how did Edie do on our quiz?
Edie, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you so much, Edie, for playing our game.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now with 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores, please?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Kerry O'Connor each has 3 points. Mo Rocca has 2.
Okay. It's only 1 point behind. Is that a problem? He can catch up.
He's done it before. Sympathetic people.
All right, Mo. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the Senate confirmed General Stanley McChrystal as the commander of U.S. forces in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. Nevada Senator John Ensign stepped down from a top GOP leadership post after admitting that he had blanked.
Been unfaithful.
Yes, had an affair. In a speech last Sunday, blank said he accepted the creation of a Palestinian state under many conditions.
Netanyahu.
Right. For the 15th time, the blanks won the NBA championship.
Oh, it's those Lakers.
It is those Lakers, the LA Lakers. After the vote resulted in a tie, an election in Cave Creek, Arizona was determined by blanking.
Skeet shooting.
Cutting a deck of cards.
Okay.
For the second time in less than a week, a hydrogen gas leak delayed the launch of the blank.
Space shuttle.
Right. After falling behind in the social networking race, blank announced it was laying off 30% of its staff.
I believe that it's MySpace.
It is, in fact, MySpace. Okay. Well, after a heated debate, the City Council of Brooksville, Florida, has voted to require all city employees from this day forward to blank.
to collar their alligators.
No, to wear underwear. Ooh. No word, thankfully, on what incident prompted the city council to take up this important topic. Perhaps paparazzi photos of aldermen getting caught getting out of limos. We don't know. The vote was 4-1 for the measure, with Mayor Joe Bernardini voting against the restrictive ordinance. Tim, it's more than just a question of ventilation. He said, quote, it takes away from freedom of choice, unquote. Hmm. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had a great round, Peter. He had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. Mo now has 14 points and the lead.
Told you.
Thank you.
You flipped a coin. Kiri has elected to go next. Kiri, fill in the blank. President Obama signed a memorandum expanding federal benefits to include blank.
Domestic partners.
Right. Same-sex partners. The Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that inmates cannot use a federal civil rights law to get blank tests done.
DNA.
Right. The bribery trial of William Jefferson, the former congressman, who hid $90,000 in blank, began this week.
His freezer.
Yes. Last Saturday, the amusement park chain blank filed for bankruptcy.
Six Flags.
Right. As a convenience to boaters and to keep their lake clean, planners in South Carolina are proposing adding a blank at Lake Kiowee.
A dock.
A floating restroom. The estate of an author who wrote a book about a fictional wizard named Willie accused blank of plagiarism.
J.K. Rowling.
Right. NASA launched an orbiter Thursday to make a comprehensive survey of the blank.
Of the solar system.
Of the moon. A nude rugby game held as part of New Zealand's National Nude Day was interrupted by a blank on Saturday.
Streaker.
Right, but...
was wearing clothes.
Exactly. A fully clothed streaker. Officials were dismayed by the interruption. They said it didn't reflect the spirit of National Nude Day to have a fully clothed person run across the pitch. They urged those considering similar action to please think of the children. Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Kiri had 6 correct answers, Peter, for 12 more points. Kiri now has 15 points, and she's taken the lead.
Well done. All right. How many, then, does Roy Blunt need to win this game?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot, Roy. Here
I
we
know.
Go.
That's what I say.
Here we go. Right. Fill in the blank. While on her way to a meeting at the White House, blank fell and broke her elbow.
Hillary Clinton.
Right. CIA Director Leon Panetta was criticized for a New Yorker interview in which he said it was almost like blank wanted the country to be attacked.
Dick Cheney.
Right. According to a new study, drivers in New York City are the most likely to get blank.
Angry.
Yeah, road rage. Researchers at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland conducted a scientific study and determined that you cannot trust blank.
Anybody except Scots.
No, scientific studies. The New York Times reported on Tuesday that in 2003, blank tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
I'm trying to remember who it was. It was... Sammy Sosa.
It was indeed. On Thursday, outdoor clothing and lifestyle chain blank announced it was filing for bankruptcy protection.
Oh gosh. I can't think of the name of it, so I'll just make something up. It's Outdoor Willie.
No. It's Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer, it's close.
Zookeepers at the London Zoo are concerned about two baby flamingos who are terrified of blank.
They're supposedly terrified of the color pink.
That's right.
But they are terrified of a pink sock puppet.
Well, that's the thing. Let's explain. Baby flamingos have gray feathers for the first year, so the two chicks named Little and Large are not afraid of themselves or anything. But according to their keeper, quote, to encourage Little to feed by himself, we've been wearing a hand puppet which imitates adult flamingos, but unfortunately he was really terrified of the socks, unquote. And you're right, Roy. They're saying it's because they're pink. They hate pink, but maybe they're just awful, scary hand puppets.
Yeah, who likes a hand puppet anyway?
Can you imagine being fed by a hand puppet three times your own size, holding food, coming down out of the sky? Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
He needed 6 to tie, but Roy had just 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Kiri O'Connor is this week's champion.
Well done.
I'm sorry.
No. You deserve it. We'll be fine.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists how President Obama will next exhibit alpha male apex predator behavior now that he has vanquished the White House fly. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel, to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Lumber Liquidators, supporter of the National Braille Press and Ronald McDonald House Charities. Hardwood Flooring Catalogs at 1-800-HARDWOOD. And to the National Association of Realtors, whose members recognize that every market is different. A realtor is a member of the National Association of Realtors. While in Chapel Hill, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me stays at the historic Carolina Inn, located on the scenic campus of the University of North Carolina. Thanks for the free coffee. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our web guru is Beth Novi. We'd like to thank Bill Deputy from NPR and Mark Steffen, Kelsey Greenewalt, and the rest of the staff here at Memorial Hall in Chapel Hill. Thanks also to Regina Yeager at WUNC. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our program is produced by In Chilog, Eva Guns-Walchover, and Emily Acton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White, the senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. And I'm sorry to say, it's the last time I get to say this. Our intern is Allie Lang. Allie is moving on to bigger and more paycheck-paying things. We will miss you, Allie, but mainly we will miss your strangely addictive vanilla jello pudding cookie salad.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's all I have to say about that. Now, panel, how will President Obama show that he is the top dog next time? Mo Rocca.
He will pee on Joe Biden.
That's awful. Kerry O'Connor.
He'll challenge Michelle to an arm wrestling match, and he will beat her inexplicably. Oh.
Mm. And Roy Blunt Jr.
Well, you know, he came on this show back when he was just a senator, and he was really cool. But let's see if he can come on this show now, when he's president, and withstand the sort of withering adulation that he'll be subjected to.
Well, if President Obama does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Roy Blunt Jr., Kerry O'Connor. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at Memorial Hall at UNC Chapel Hill. Thank you all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you back home next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.